Item B on our thing is the legislator and budgets update, and this is a briefing. Deputy Director Joe Storr and Ann Larson, our legislation liaison, will lead us through that.
Thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. I'll let Ann start with the legislative report, and then I'll follow up with the latest on budget.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
As you guys saw this week, Thursday, we had the Senate budget that was released. I did provide a link in my update, so you guys can view that. I know Joe's going to talk a little bit about the budget here just after me, but just to let you know that Senate Bill 5034 is the avenue for the Senate budget, the chair's budget. It was actually adopted in Ways and Means with bipartisan support and passed through. Today at 10 o'clock, we just saw that there was a rules pull from the Senate leadership, so we are likely going to see that budget move through the floor sometime today. They'll probably go into caucus to develop amendments to that budget, and then we'll see it possibly go off the Senate floor sometime today, I would hope. We're also anticipating that the Senate capital budget is going to come out next week as well. We're getting a lot of calls from Senate capital staff and just kind of just responding to these legislative inquiries, and I think just anticipation that that's going to be out early next week. But, so we had a big cutoff date. We've got another one started for April 9th. That's our next big one, which is next week. For that, we need to have all of the bills out of their fiscal committees. I'm glad to say that all the bills that we're pretty much supporting or concerned about have made it out of all of the committees, in fact, all of the fiscal committees, and are actually out on the floor. Right now, I'm pretty much chasing a lot of budget provisos, and then trying to get our policy bills actually off the floor. Some of those, if they get passed, can go directly to the governor's desk. Other ones may need to go back to the opposite house. On my report, I just highlighted our three agency request bills, the license revocation bill, House Bill 1218. It did pass on March 22nd out of the Senate, and it's now on the Senate floor in rules. I've been actually petitioning a lot of the folks in the Rules Committee to get that out. I don't anticipate any problems. The bill passed unanimously in all of the committees that it was in. I think the reason that we lost it is it's just that it wasn't a priority to the Senate companion bill, but I don't anticipate any problems with it. We just need to make that a priority for the folks that are in rules to get that out on the floor for a vote. Our Hunter Education Bill, which is House Bill 1199, also passed this last week on April 3rd and now is in rules. Again, we're petitioning the senators in Rules Committee to get that shaken loose and on the floor. One of the things important about this bill is that they actually removed the fees again in the Senate. They did, in fact, put the minimum age requirements back in the bill, but the bill no longer includes the fees. Chief York is here with me as well. I don't anticipate that we're going to get the fees back in. It's something that the Senate's been pretty adamant about, that they don't want to move forward with that. I think we can live with what is in the bill right now. Obviously, we would want to have those fees, but I just don't think it's a reality. What isn't unfortunate is that it would have to go back to the House for concurrence once it does pass the Senate floor. Any questions on either of those two bills? Hearing none. And finally, wolf management. That, I think, is really pretty much taking up the majority of my time right now. Unfortunately, on April 3rd, the policy cutoff this last week, we failed to have our wolf bills actually come out of House Agner. The situation was that Representative Blake was out. He's got a very bad back. He missed committee on Monday. Tuesday, he came back and was in a wheelchair. On Wednesday, he wasn't able to make. So the committee numbers were a 50-50 split from Democrats to Republicans. There was a couple bills, some of them Republican bills, some of them Democratic, and one of them was our 5193, our wolf funding bill. Because the Republicans would not give the Democrats on one of their bills, which I think was our shark finning bill, which was Senator Ranker's bill, the Republicans wouldn't give them votes on that one, so the Democrats actually locked up, and they didn't pass anything out of the committee. Well, lost essentially all of the bills out of committee that day. I think it's unfortunate, but I do see a path moving forward. 5193 was included in the Senate budget. There was a $300,000 line item there for wolf management. So I do see a path moving forward because it's indicated that it's necessary to implement the budget. Right now, we're just working with leadership on the House side. What would need to happen is House would need to pull that from the floor. It didn't make policy committee, so leadership would have to do that, and then we can see if it can pass out the House floor and then return back to the Senate. As it stands right now, the strategy moving forward, we're still looking to include the personalized license plate as an amendment on 5193. Again, the personalized license plate would bring in $800,000 for the Binam for wolf management activities. 5187, again, that's Senator Smith's bill that would deal with predator attacks. We are still in support of that policy and working behind the scenes to see if that's a possibility. 1501, which was another funding mechanism in the House side, I think that bill is toxic at this point. I don't honestly think that's going to make it out of the Senate. It obviously didn't make the cutoff in policy. I don't think it's going to make the fiscal cutoff, and I honestly don't think it's going anywhere. I really think 5193 is our only avenue at this point. Just for reference, there are some other opportunities we may have in the event that 5193 does not pass off the House floor. We could potentially do some different budget provisos in the back of the budget to see if we could get some additional funding for wolf management. But it's pretty much a changing scenario daily. This, obviously, you understand how controversial it is, and the Republicans, Democrats still are not seeing eye to eye. We are talking with the governor's office as well, and we'll keep you posted as we know more. But essentially, that's the highlights. Like I said, we're really focusing our attention, and my attention is getting our bills that are currently on the floor, getting them off to the governor's desk for signature, as well as dealing with budget and different budget provisos that are out there. Are there any questions?
Yeah, and Commissioner Smith?
Sure.
If the wolf plate passed, when would those be issued? Do you know?
If we're looking at the background license plate, that actually took almost a biennium to implement. That's not right now something that's even viable. We've heard from Senator King and Senators ID co-chairs of transportation that they don't want to do a wolf background plate at this time. However, the personalized license plate, which is the one that spells, has words on the back of it, that one we could implement, I believe it's by the end of this year. So we could see revenues coming in sooner rather than later.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
And Commissioner Smitten.
Sure.
First, just to acknowledge what a great job you're doing. It's been a particularly difficult session, but I think your scorecard is wonderful. A lesser item, but one I've been tracking on behalf of the guides in North Central Washington, is the guides requirement legislation. There were two bills. Whatever happened to those?
Substitute Senate Bill 5786 regarding commercial fishing guides is in House rules, and then House Bill 1896 also regarding fishing guides is in Senate rules. So both of them are in Rules Committee, likely to come out on the floor. One thing to maybe let the guides know is to encourage those members in rules to bring those out on the floor would be good advice. But they're moving along and doing both well.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I can turn over to Joe for budget.
Anne, I have one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in relation, and I don't have the bill number, but in relation to the bill that would affect our jurisdiction over tribal members, can you give us an update on that one?
Yeah, that bill actually is 1496. And it did move. I believe it's in rules as well. Yes, it's in rules, Chief was pointing out. And we did ultimately change that bill, and it follows what we're already doing. And I don't know if the Chief would like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it has, Commissioner Wecker, it has turned essentially into a training bill.
Okay.
So the AG is required to provide a curriculum, presents the fish and wildlife officers and ex officio officers. And then there's an ongoing tribal law piece that's required for fish and wildlife officers to take once a year.
Okay. Sounds like a very positive change to me.
We were able to provide some input on that amendment, so I think it's in a much better place.
Thanks.
Well, with that, I'll turn it over to Deputy Chief Joe Storr and Deputy Director.
Deputy Chief.
Nice.
I always wanted to be an enforcement officer. Okay, good morning, Commissioners. I'll walk you through the latest on budget. I think you probably heard a week ago or so Governor Inslee issued his budget, which for us was very similar to Governor Gregoire's, so there wasn't a lot of new news there. On Wednesday, as Ann mentioned, the Senate chair released his budget, which is working its way for a vote today. The Senate budget reduced our state general fund appropriation by about $10.4 million from our maintenance level. The majority of that, though, was made up with some fund shifts. So like we've experienced the last couple of sessions, as they took away general fund, they recognized the serious impacts that might have, and they found other dollars for much of it anyway. The remaining $4.3 million cut in general fund falls into four categories. The first is a $650,000 reduction to our PILT budget, payment in lieu of taxes. Senate proposal uses the exact numbers and distributions to counties as in the 2012 supplemental. So it doesn't fund the full amount that was collected by some of the counties several years ago. It's a reduced amount. The second reduction was $300,000 to our winter elk feeding, and that just maintains the cut, the same reduction that we have in the current biennium. So hopefully we'll have some fairly moderate winters. The next two, I think, are probably of most concern. We had a $2.3 million reduction in general fund related to administrative efficiencies. And so you might ask what that is, and it's not any more specific than that, other than it anticipates we'll be doing a lot of lean processes throughout the agency, and those processes will result in efficiencies that amount to this amount of dollar savings. And then the fourth, another one of some serious concern, is $1 million reduction to our state general fund authority based on projected spending patterns over the next 4 months. So there was some kind of analysis that was done. We're still trying to figure out what that was on the wildlife state and state general fund allotments. It was all sort of mixed up with Discover Pass and the early projections, allotments or appropriations on Discover Pass, which, as we all know, didn't occur. And so their assumption was we had a lot more money in the bank than we will. And so they cut $1 million of that. So those last two bullets that reduce our state general fund by about $3.3 million will have an impact on program staffing levels. We haven't, you know, had to or gone to the point of identifying specifically what we would cut, but you remember we only have really three buckets. About 40%+ of our general fund is in either fish production, fish management, or native fish recovery. About 22% is in our enforcement program, and about 20% or so is in the habitat, technical assistance, HPAs, all of that work. So that's where we'll be looking to take this $3.3 million if we have to. I think Ann mentioned the House budget we expect to come out next week, and our best intelligence, our best guess is it'll be similar to Governor Inslee's budget. If that's the case, then the Senate budget here probably represents the worst-case scenario, but it's just real hard to tell right now. Everything's in play. In terms of some good news, we received full funding for a number of maintenance-level requests, which I have some serious doubts about, things like fuel rate adjustments, lease rate adjustments, fish food increases, technology cost increases, wildfire season costs, youth education partnerships. There's a 3% salary increase in the Senate's budget, or the 3%, giving the 3% back was taken at the beginning of this biennium. So that's good for staff morale. We had a number of ads out of non-general fund pots. Our wolf population management, Ann mentioned this. That ad was approved. We got some funding for our new wild system that comes into it becomes active in 2014. We got some funding for wildlife area operations and maintenance out of some of our sub-accounts in the wildlife account. Funding for deer and elk property damage, relocation of our staff in the Vancouver office and the Point Whitney office, some Cowlitz River Chinook production money, and invasive species, small amount for an invasive species passport program. So, full support for those ads that were non-general fund that we had requested and that had appeared in Governor Gregoire and Governor Inslee budgets. So in general, we've got some pretty serious concerns about this $3.3 million in efficiency cuts that I mentioned. There's also, in the Senate budget, there's a $15 million reduction to IT systems, IT staffing, that's going to be spread across all agencies. And as you probably remember, our IT shop took some serious cuts over the last 4 or 5 years that we've been trying to rebuild and recover from. So I don't know what our share of the $15 million will be, but about a year ago, we had the ninth largest IT budget of all state agencies. So we're not, it probably won't be trivial. And then we didn't get full funding to move our CAMP, our capital asset management program staff, from the building we're selling here in downtown Olympia. And if we don't get funding for that, that may impact our willingness or ability to sell that facility to the city of Olympia. So that's something we're working with them on. So we should see the House budget next week. We've got the Senate budget. We've got the governor's budget. So by the time we're together at the next commission meeting next weekend, I should be able to report on what all three of those look like, and we can maybe triangulate a little bit more about what impacts that would result in. Any questions?
Yeah, Joe, Commissioner Smith.
Hi, Commissioner.
Was there any talk about potential damage from sequestration impact?
There hasn't been in the state as far as damage to our agency in the state legislature, but we've been following that. Jennifer Kwan was back in D.C. a couple weeks ago. So we're getting a better understanding as sequestration rolls out. It could amount to a couple million dollars to us if sequestration moves through its entirety, which it appears to be headed towards right now. I could get you some more detail if you'd like.
Well, I think maybe for the meeting next week, if we could just, get to know what you guys know, because that could have an impact, as we know.
It could, yes. Uh-huh. I'll do that. Any other questions?
Thank you, Deputy Director Storer. Nicely done. I appreciate the input and keeping us posted, and Larson, good as normal. So thanks very much. Keep us posted as your world goes through its normal daily changes. Any other questions on those two areas before we go on to the approval of minutes?